Good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? I love it. I don't love it when there's technology glitches and stuff's kind of shaky during rehearsal because tech has gone funky, but I love it when the Holy Spirit shows up and worship drops like worship dropped this morning. Amen. Like when God just reaches in and says, let me just take away all the distractions and bring you guys into the throne room. Worship team, thank you. Tech team, thank you for doing what you do. Listen, this has been an amazing sermon series. I don't know if you guys know this. I have never preached a sermon series this long before. I have never been in a sermon series this long before. And yet we have not repeated a single leadership lesson. Do you know that? Probably not, because you're like, it's too long. I can't remember everything. So I just want to spend a few minutes like recapping the highlights. And I want to encourage you, because we've had a lot of feedback from you guys. We've had a lot of feedback in email. We've had a lot of feedback in conversations that some of these messages have really transformed your hearts, have helped you turn a corner, have made a change. And so as I recap, man, grab your notebook, grab the note on your phone, however you're taking notes. If that was a lesson for you and you were like, oh yeah, that one grabbed me and then I kind of stepped away from it for a week or two and forgot about it, then I want to encourage you to pick it back up and see what God would have for you before we jump in, because, well, we'll get to that anyway. So we started the beginning of the summer in this series, Wisdom from the Wilderness, Leadership Lessons from Moses. And the first thing that we learned was that we need to be real. There's no point denying our past. There's no point hiding from our past. There's no point running from our past. Moses was born a slave. He was destined for death. And he lived in the palace for 40 years, and that did not change that he was an Israelite. It did not change that he was captive, and it did not change his destiny. And so our past, whether it is a persecuted past or a self-imposed consequence kind of past, our past is not something we need to hide from, because it is the groundwork for restoration and hope in God's hands. It is the groundwork for redemption, but we got to be real about it. Amen, church? Okay. We also learned that it's important to be driven, not driven according to our own will, but driven with the passions that God has given us, driven, surrendered to God. We learn this lesson when Moses' passion for his people in one circumstance went very badly, and in one circumstance went very well. You see, when our passions, when we surrender our drive to God, it's a good thing. Not surrender to God, ooh, Moses killed the Egyptian, had to run for his life, everything crumbled. Not a good scenario. But that same passion to defend the underdog, to stand up for those who were being persecuted, that same passion surrendered to God, that same drive surrendered to God, placed Moses in a place of protection and provision over some young women that actually led to Moses' next 40 years of career in the wilderness. It led to his wife and his family. It led to his restoration process and how God would use that. We also learned from the burning bush experience that we need to be surrendered. Y'all are like, I don't like to be surrendered. Who likes to hear God's big plan for your life? Oh, y'all, come on. Like, who likes to hear God's big, exciting plan for your life? Who likes to be told that you have to go stand up to kings and authorities and do all kinds of scary stuff to accomplish that plan? Yeah, see, we have to be surrendered to God's plan for our life. And y'all will remember this one. We have to get our butts out of the way and obey. Because remember, Moses had all the, but I can't because, but I can't God because, but I can't God because. We have to get our butts out of the way and obey. Then we learned that we need to be committed. We need to trust God and his plan. From plagues to Red Seas, we need to be fully committed. We can't go ishing it. You know, I'm on a diet-ish. I'm on a saving-ish plan. I'm Dave Ramsey-ing-ishing it, like sort of, but not quite. That won't get you into walking into the fullness for God's plans for your life. When God gives you a plan, you need to be committed. You need to stand firm in that, whether it's against Pharaoh or whomever. You need to stand firm and you need to take action. And most of all, can I tell you, we gotta not let our fear keep us pinned between the enemy and the Red Sea that God wants to part for us. Because when we're committed and we step out, when we take action, then God parts the sea. But if we don't, we stay stuck. I don't know about y'all, but stuck is not a place to be. We also learn that we have to be vulnerable. Now, that isn't actually what we called this sermon. It was in reflecting this week that I was like, oh, that's really what Moses did. You're like, I don't remember the Be Vulnerable sermon. Jessica preached it. It was when they were facing the army and Moses had to stand with his arms raised up while everybody else did all the other things. See, as a leader, Moses had to be vulnerable and recognize that he couldn't be the one to lead the army. That was Joshua. He also had to stand and say, I'm supposed to hold up my arms, but I can't do it all. But I can't stand and pray from sunup to sundown all by myself. Whether I am your leader or not, I need help. We have to actually, as leaders, acknowledge where we need help. And as followers, we all have to willingly do our part. If anybody hadn't done their part, or if Moses hadn't been vulnerable, the takeaway from Pastor Jessica, everybody would have died. Like everybody, I can't say it like you say it. Everybody would have died. Yep, that. Then we learn from Moses, who is in the desert, and he is spending from sunup to sundown settling disputes and arguments between the people, and he's not really getting a whole lot else accomplished. And his father-in-law shows up. And we learned that as leaders, we need to build leaders. We need to be leaders who build leaders. And to do that, we need to see our people and we need to know our people so that we can wisely empower our people. And I say wisely empower because we just can't hand off stuff for people to do without knowing them, without knowing their capabilities, their abilities, and most of all, without knowing their character. We can't get attracted to shiny, bobbly talent when somebody's not got character, right? Because we have to delegate authority, but we can never abdicate responsibility as leaders. Are we all right? Good lessons. I've seen a couple of you take a few notes. I guess y'all all got this down pat. Pastor Rick, it is just you and I that have been relearning these lessons and going through them all week and being like, man, I need to go to that one again. Well, then we learned about God sending his messenger ahead. We learned about the pre-incarnate Jesus going ahead of God's people into the promised land. And in that, we learned to be steadfast. Because the plan doesn't usually happen overnight. This was a big one for a lot of us because we want things to just happen. And we hear God promise us victory and we want victory today. If we're being patient, we want victory this week. A lot of us want victory come about, what time is that game? 4 o'clock, 4:30? 4:30. We want victory at 4:30 today. But we learned in this passage, as God told his people, I'm sending the messenger ahead, but I'm only going to let you take the land little by little. Because if I cleared out all your enemies at once, the wild beasts and the weeds would overtake everything, and you couldn't handle it. And what we really learned is that little by little, which most of us, I would say none, but you should never say always or never, none. Or so most all of us don't like little by little, but little by little is most often the plan. Little by little is on purpose, and it is for our good. Victory is assured little by little when we follow God's plan. And then we had a great lesson through Shawnee from Moses on leading through failure. Can I tell you, as leaders, and we're all leaders, right? Let me remind you. Who is the only, it's a question. Who's the only perfect one? Jesus. Guess what? That means at some point, leaders, you or your team or both of you are going to fail. Failure at some point is guaranteed. Nobody likes that lesson. We learn this from Moses. Moses goes up on a mountain. God comes down with all the angels to give Moses the law. The glory of the Lord is there. He tells the people, all right, here's what you're going to do. Now, at this point, Moses has walked through the plagues, left Pharaoh behind, defeated the army, parted the sea, done all the things like wow, 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 and wow. Just behave for a few days. Goes up the mountain to meet with God. All this glory is going on. And the people gather their gold and build a golden calf and worship and dance and have a big party around it like it's a god, because they give up on Moses, right? And we learn that as leaders, we have the opportunity to lead with the same grace, with the same loyalty, and with the same mercy that we want God to lead us with. And that when we fail, we have the opportunity to try again. And do you know that when we actually are willing to try again, what we see here is that when we fail, but as leaders, we rally the people, we encourage them, we tell them what went wrong, we remind them how to do it right, and we walk beside them and try again, the victory is all the sweeter. The success is all the more sustainable. We are stronger for the failure that we led our teams through than if we had never failed at all. It is very quiet in here. It is very quiet. Through the doubt of the spies who went out to search the promised land, and Moses' inability, for whatever reason, to re-rally them, to turn the tide of despair that was sweeping through the nation of Israel. From a negative consequence, we learned that when we are facing the giants, we have to trust God's plan despite what it looks like in front of us. Despite what we see, we have to trust God's plan. Because if we don't, God's plan will continue. God's plans never fail. Israel was going to get to the promised land. But a whole lot of people who could have, should have been there didn't go there because they eliminated themselves from participating in the plan because they weren't faithful to trust God in the face of their giants. Alicia had a great sermon for us on what it means to not strike out. I know we're shifting from baseball to football, but don't strike out. Don't lash out. Moses lashed out, and in anger, he struck the rock. In anger, he disobeyed, because partial obedience is still disobedience. Good job, you guys. More importantly than the partial obedience is still disobedience thing, the real grievous sin here was that Moses took God's glory. Moses stood in front of a rock. Moses, who in and of himself could do nothing but hit a rock with a stick, and said, do Aaron and I need to bring this water for you, miserable, complaining, blah, 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 people? Because he was mad. Like he had the power and authority. He took God's glory. And in that, there's an incredibly valuable lesson that we can never take God's authority for our own, no matter what position he has placed us in. And we also learned, again, had reinforced for us, that God's mercy and justice work side by side. They do not cancel each other out. God is a God of justice. There was consequence, but he's a God of mercy. The water still came. The people still drank. No one dehydrated to death. And it was good. Finally, last week, we learned about building legacies, not legends. See, we're supposed to be good stewards of our leadership position because our leadership positions are assignments. They are not entitlements. And in that assignment, our placement where we're at, our departure, how we transition out of where we're at to someone else, and the legacy that we leave behind are all part of the assignment. And we need to leave people their future, not our past. See, a legend is just for a hero, and heroes rarely change things beyond their own generation. But a legacy that points to God continues to lead people for generation to generation. Moses established that the law would be read every 7 years. Moses established that the people would always have a way forward, that they would always have the living word of God to guide and direct them. And in that, they would grow, they would find strength, they would be protected, and they would prosper. We're to steward our position and leave legacy. And our leadership journey, no matter where you work. I don't care if you're in the government, if you're in the military, if you're in the classroom, if you're in the hospital, if you're in the cafeteria, if you're on the back of a trash truck, a waste disposal, whatever the words are. Like, I don't care where you're at. What you do should point to Jesus. Your leadership, you have the opportunity for your leadership to point to Jesus. That's an awful lot of lessons, y'all. What could possibly be left? We have one more chapter. We have Deuteronomy 34. What could be left to learn? I mean, last week, Moses summoned the people, told them to be strong and courageous. He summoned Joshua, told them to be strong and courageous. He passed the baton of leadership with authority. What else is there? Moses goes on to bless the people. He uses his final words at the people to bless them. In Deuteronomy 32 and 33, you can read through that. The song of Moses, it's beautiful. It's actually a whole picture of the gospel story. It's a whole picture of the whole Bible. But in that, he gives glory to God, and he speaks of God's love for his people. He doesn't deny that God's people will rebel. He actually warns them against it. And he tells them that their inheritance goes far beyond the land, but their true inheritance is the living word. The living word that will guide their path and the living word that we later know is Jesus. In the blessing, he also goes on to bless each tribe individually. Remember going back to seeing and knowing your people? What are the strengths of the tribe? What are they going to do? And he speaks truth. He doesn't speak fluff. He doesn't just say the same thing to everybody. He speaks truth to them, and he blesses them according to how God has gifted them. And he speaks joy over all the people because they serve a God who is living and who is not dead. And then it's time for the closing act. And we get to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Okay, you guys ready to do a little reading with me? Because I've had a lot of words. I'm ready for some help. Yes? Y'all are like, you better believe we're ready to hear another voice. Okay, repeat after me. Naphtali. Naphtali. Ephraim. Zohar. That should be all the hard words in this passage. All right, you ready? We're going to read online, family. We're in Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 3. Let's read together. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. So Moses isn't allowed to enter the promised land. That's his consequence. But God takes him up to the top of Mount Nebo, and he shows him everything. Don't put it up yet for me. I want you guys to think of your vision of the promised land. What does the promised land look like? What do you see out in front of you? This actually isn't part of the Moses leadership lesson, but I think it's really important, and it's something that Pastor Rick and I lived as we went to the promised land and stood over on the Jordan side and looked up from the top of Mount Nebo out roughly at the view that Moses had. Because in our American prosperity gospel-influenced mindset, we tend to see the promised land as Eden, like milk and honey from east to west and north to south and nothing in between. So I want to share with you Moses' view. This is the promised land from the top of Mount Nebo. And these green areas are Jericho and Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Nabok and all the cities. But do you see all the desert in between? None of these people ever would have thought the promised land would have come without any struggle. They never would have thought that even in the promised land, there weren't deserts to cross and there weren't dry patches. But oh, the oasis that exists. If it was all lush and beautiful, who would appreciate the oasis? Without wilderness, we can't appreciate the glory. Without struggle, we can't grasp the greatness and the depth of God's provision. Nothing to do with the passage, but I wanted you to see what we saw. I wanted you to see roughly what Moses saw. That is the picture from the top of Mount Nebo. We took it with our own little camera. It was really exciting. At the promised land that Moses saw. And I want to encourage you that as God has given you the word for your promised land, if you're feeling discouraged because it's a little arid, look for the oasis. It's there. It's there. And God is faithful to put you in the midst of it. You just got to keep going. Did anybody need that today besides me? Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep. All right. I'm just going to keep going. All right. So let's read Deuteronomy 34:4 together, because this is now God talking. Let's listen, or let's read. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over to it." So God is faithful to let Moses see it. And again, we think it's really awful. I know, but Moses lost his temper. The greater sin was that he took God's glory. But on the greater canvas of history, I want to remind us the bigger lesson. As Moses is the picture of the law, no matter how perfect the law is, it's never going to get us to the promised land. And no matter how good we are, without Jesus, we're going to fall short. The beauty is, with Jesus, Moses got to the promised land. With Jesus, Moses was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and with Jesus, we all get to the promised land. Because Jesus has paid the price for every rock we'll ever strike, every temper we'll ever lose, every sin we'll ever commit. Y'all, that's some good news. That's some good news. And in the midst of that, in the midst of that, we look forward to the promises God has for us. The reality is, as leaders, as followers, as human beings, in an imperfect world, sometimes we won't walk in our promised land till the other side of eternity. Sometimes the promise God gives us is for the generation to follow. Sometimes he needs us, like Moses, to walk people out of slavery and captivity, to walk them through the desert and go all the way with our tippy toes to the very edge and look out and see what God is going to do and what God is going to do for them, for our children, for their children, for our grandchildren, for our nieces and our nephews, for our friends, for the generations that follow. And I have to ask us, in business, maybe you're not going to be a Fortune 500 company when you are at the helm, but the company you started, you can put your tippy toes up at the edge, and if you're willing to release it to the next leader, then it's going to go the next step. And the question I have is, can we humans, in all our desires, be satisfied with seeing what will be? The promises that will come. Because I have to believe in this moment, Moses wasn't throwing a tantrum with God. In faith, can you trust the eternal outcome? And I will tell you, in my experience, not always. Hebrews 11, Hall of Faith. Tons of people who experienced exactly what God promised in their lifetime, and lots more who walked people towards that promise. But in my experience, the sooner we say, yes, Lord, I'm satisfied with seeing what will be, the more likely we are to experience the what is in our own lifetime, in our own circumstance, in our own moment. It's letting go and letting God and trusting him to deliver on his time. Anybody else not like God's time sometimes? Like, sometimes do we just wish God would get on board with our timeline? Like, God, I'm good with your promise, but could we do it according to my timeline? Yeah, that's not a good thing. We've learned that lesson already. I just recanted 12 lessons before this, right? Can we be satisfied with seeing what will be and trust God with the eternal outcome? Deuteronomy 34, 5 to 8 says, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over." Okay, really cool thing here. I don't know if y'all caught it. It says he buried him, capital H-E. That's not because the he is at the beginning of the sentence. You can look in other translations. God himself actually buried Moses. The people didn't bury Moses. In Jude, I always want to say Jude chapter 9. Jude is one chapter. It is a one-chapter book right before Revelation. And in Jude verse 9, there's this one little verse about the archangel Michael fighting with Satan over Moses' body. Totally different context, but there's a whole thing. Like, God himself tended to laying Moses to rest. That's just cool. I don't know the whole why. It's just cool. I would suggest that if the people were willing to take all their earrings and gold to make a golden calf to worship after a couple days, that maybe they didn't need 40 years later their hero to have a tomb where they could stay and set up camp and worship and linger and turn Moses into something more than a man. But that's just a thought. I have no, like, literally just maybe an educated thought, but still just a thought. They honored him and they mourned him for 30 days and they moved on. Now, Yeah, I want to make sure. Okay. There's a good part, but I'm saving it till the end. All right. They honored him and mourned him 30 days and moved on. So they never forgot him, right? There are so many passages. I read you a psalm about God's provision. I told you there's a passage in Jude. Jesus refers to Moses. Hebrews refers to Moses. Moses is all over Scripture. God's people never forget about Moses, but they don't stay stuck at his death. Followers, we have a really hard time with this. When we have a great leader, it's really hard on the leader that follows a really great leader, because followers stay stuck on the guy who was, the guy or gal who was. And we got to let go. We got to honor appropriately. We have to grieve. They don't have to die for us to grieve. When you've worked under a really great leader, Chris Wagnon, Karen's husband, was one of the best bosses I ever had. When he left New Life, I grieved. The staff grieved. He wasn't dead. You see him? He bops around. He's still here. Now we got Karen. She's better than Chris, but don't tell Chris that. He's at another church. He's not online washing, so it's okay. Karen, don't tell him we said that. Okay. You got to grieve what you lose, but then you take the next leader and you move on. Leaders change. Followers don't get stuck. What I want to point out, it says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. What was Moses known as? Not Moses, the dude who parted the sea. Not Moses, the guy who defeated Pharaoh. Not Moses, the one who led them through the desert, who brought water and quail and manna. Not Moses, who spoke with God. All the things. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Who you are and whose you are at the end of the day is what matters. And leaders, and we are all leaders. Man, it is important that you are an amazing husband or wife. It is important that you are a great boss. It is important that you are a solid friend. It is important that you show up and do all the things. It matters that I work at my sermons and I try to deliver the word of God to the best of my ability. But you know what matters more than anything? If we're a servant of God. Because if we're a servant of God, we will do all the other things and do them well. As well as we can. Moses was a servant of God. At the end of the day, what do people have to say about you and me? What will be said of you and I? Tonight, when you look in the mirror and the temptation is there to define yourself by your accomplishments, how much did you make today? Who did you counsel well today? How many kids did you teach to read? Whatever your accomplishments are, do not let your accomplishments define you. Be defined by who you are and whose you are. Be defined by being a child of God. Amen, church. Amen. All right. Let's read Deuteronomy 34, verse 9 together. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. So Moses dies, he is buried, and the transition has happened. Joshua is filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses laid hands on him. Do not let your leadership die with you. We have covered this lesson kind of throughout, but it's worth foot stomping. And certainly, if there are only 12 verses at the end of this whole life of Moses, and this is one of them, I think it's worth saying again. Who are you apprenticing? Because Moses apprenticed Joshua. Who are you investing in? Whatever level you are at, who are you investing in? Who are you seeing? And if you're not, are you looking? Are you praying for God to show you that person? Because there should be someone you see that you are taking by the arm and saying, come along with me, because there's going to be a time and a place where you're not there anymore and someone needs to do what you were doing. And all the lessons you have learned should not go bye-bye with you. Leadership is not heroism. Leadership is teaching other people to lead. Heroism does not advance the kingdom from generation to generation. So who are you apprenticing? And by the way, who are you being apprenticed by? Now, Moses, it was pretty cool. He was apprenticed by God himself. We all get that. We all get to be apprenticed by God himself through the living word of God and our prayer lives and our intimacy with God. And also in our professional life, we should be being apprenticed by someone. And if you aren't, then find someone, search for someone, look for that person and ask them. Are we good? Okay. Three verses left. Are y'all ready? Verses 10 to 12. Since then, since Moses died, no prophet has risen in all Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. What stands out to me? Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and who did all the Lord sent him to do. Could there be a better epitaph than that? Moses, who had intimacy with God in such a way that God knew him and he knew God, and he did all that God had for him to do. See, Moses wasn't finished with life physically. It said his eyesight was still strong, his body hadn't worn out, but he had completed his assignment. Side note, leaders, there are going to be times where you could keep going in the position you're in, but your season's over. You've done all you can do there. Be wise and step away, right? Let's get back to Moses. In this final little text on Moses and reviewing this last chapter, I have some questions for us that come from Moses' example in these last moments of his life. Who are you following? Moses spent time with God. He listened to God's word. He followed God's commands. Who are you following? Do you spend more time following your team or your favorite entertainer or whatever than you do following Jesus? Who are you following? There was no doubt where Moses got his direction. He went into the tent and everybody knew what he was up to. He came out, his face was glowing. They may not say it to my face. Well, they probably would because that's our culture. But I can tell you my team knows when I have. Actually, they will say it because they question me sometimes. My team knows when I have not had my quiet time. It shows. I'm a little more redheaded. I'm a little less surrendered. I'm a lot more controlling. Yeah. It's not pretty. Who am I following? Like, I'm not preaching at y'all. This passage has been preaching to me all week, this whole thing. Who are you following? How are you leading? Acts 6:4 says that Moses was a man of prayer and ministry of the word. It doesn't matter where you are a leader, how are you leading? Moses taught the people. He saw them, he knew them, and he loved them. Does that sound familiar at all? Seen, known, and loved? How are you leading? Twice God offered to wipe the people off the face of the map and give Moses a new group of people. God knew he wasn't going to do that. He knew what Moses would do, but he needed Moses to know that he would stand up and be a loyal leader, faithful to his people. Are you loyal to your people? Are you loyal to your spouse, or your children, your siblings, your friends, your employees, your employers? Are you loyal? How are you leading? Who are you raising up? Because Moses raised up Joshua and more. Who are you raising up? And if you aren't raising up someone, I'm going to go back to the questions I asked before. Are you looking for that person? Who do you see? Are you praying that God would show you one? Are you sharing the knowledge that you have? Because leadership lessons shouldn't die with you or depart with you. They should be handed off to the next person. Are you letting go of control and delegating authority while you still take responsibility? And who are you blessing? What are you speaking over the lives of others? What am I speaking into the lives of others? Staff knows, what are we speaking into the lives of you all? Because it matters. At the end of each of your assignments, what will you do with that last bit of authority that you have? Will you turn the glory on yourself? Or will you give glory to God and speak life into others? And I'm going to go from individual to corporate. If Bridge Church were gone tomorrow, what would be said of us? Because what was said of Moses was that he was a servant of God who did all that God gave him to do. I don't know about you, but as we get ready for our third birthday, I don't have intention of us going anywhere, but right here and being in the community and doing all that God has given us to do, seeing and knowing and loving people to the best of our ability for the glory of God, inviting them into a relationship with Jesus that changes their life. But that's a church I want to be that says we were a servant of God. There are times we go do stuff and there are other organizations and an event, and they're very closed, and they're very not cooperative, and they're very look at what we have to offer you. And I don't ever, we, Pastor Rick and I don't ever, we, the staff, don't ever want that to be Bridge Church. We want to be, look at Jesus and what he will do. We are kingdom builders. We are here to be a part of what God is doing in this community. We are not here to showboat. We are not here to be a legend. We are not here to be a landmark. We are here to build the kingdom for God's glory. And we want to do everything he's given us to do. And I'm going to turn it back to the fact that God is faithful. And when we do the things, victory is assured. Can you put up that epilogue slide for me? This is Joshua 4:1. It says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, see, God's faithful to deliver them. What is on the other side of your Jordan River? Can we put up that other slide? That last slide. What are your oases that God has promised you? What is the promised land? Maybe it's not your big lifetime promised land. God never gives me that. I think he knows I would pursue it so wholeheartedly, I would drive my husband ever-loving crazy. So he gives me little bits at a time. And Pastor Rick said, thank you, Jesus. What is your promised land? What is your assignment to get there? Don't give up. Pastor Rick's going to come up and has something to say. Okay. You have closing pages? Okay. But I want to share one more passage with you. Hebrews 3, verses 1 to 6. Says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful to all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of a greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has a greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, and God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant of all God's house, bearing witness to what it said and what would be spoken by God in the future. And this is the main verse I want you guys to get, because some of you have heard what your promised land is. You have heard your assignment, and you aren't sure that you can cross the wilderness to get there. You're not sure that you can face off with the giants. You're not sure of what you can do, and on your own, you can't. But listen to this. But Christ is faithful as son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. See, we can be assured of our victory because Jesus himself tends to us. We just got to walk it out. What are the lessons you need to take from this whole thing? And we'll repeat what I said last week. If the only lesson you get is Jesus is the way, Jesus is the high priest, and when you say yes to Jesus, he tends to you, he keeps you, he holds you, and he walks you into your promised land, then we're good with that. We're good with that. Would you stand and pray with us?
It's so amazing that we get to be servants of God in his house. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the word. Holy Spirit, would you just remind us and help us to walk the humble walk, to be the leaders that you want us to be, because we're all leaders. But would that not focus on us? Would the focus be on you? Would the glory go to you? And would you just use us? Would you allow us to continue to be kingdom builders with you? Lord, we thank you for your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.